You're listening to DraftKings Network.
God bless football, Billy Gill.
God bless football, Mike Fuentes. I cut him off.
God bless football, Billy Gill.
That's my bad. Yeah.
What happened there, Billy?
I did, because we're talking and we're going to do a top five here. And he did tell us it's very difficult for me to do this, but I didn't want to exclude him. And then we had Mikey there, but Mikey had an internet thing. So it's like I didn't want to just go right back to you and hurt anyone's feelings. But instead, I've now derailed this show.
All right, so Mike Fuentes has a top five that we will get to that I'm very excited about.
Yeah.
That we will get to here in just a second. Todd McShay is going to join us coming up here. We had Mel a couple of weeks ago. McShay going to join us this week as we continue to get ready for the NFL draft, which by the time you hear or watch this episode will be just 6 days away from the first round of the NFL draft. You excited, Billy?
Road to the draft. I'm excited. You're going to be there.
I am.
You're going to be there doing a live show from the you and Mikey A from Detroit-ish. We'll be at the draft. Yeah.
Detroit-ish?
Yeah.
No, the draft's in Detroit. It's not in Detroit-ish.
Yeah, you'll be there. Don't worry. You will be there.
I'll be where?
You'll be at the DraftKings social, DraftKings Sportsbook up there. You will be there. Fans can go see you, say hello. And I'm going to be here holding down the fort as we do a draft day watch along 2024.
Okay, you'll be holding down the fort.
I'll be here holding down the fort in the studio. You guys will be out having the fun, talking to the draft picks, covering the draft with the people. Lucy will be in Detroit also. She's going to be talking to some fans. She's going to be doing some off-roading. We're going to try to check in with her, and we're trying to get some guests, have some fun. I'm excited about next week in the draft.
All right, Lucy's going to be in Detroit or Detroit-ish?
She'll be in Detroit. You'll be in Detroit and Detroit-ish.
Why am I driving all? No, no one's told me a plan.
Like, yeah, you got a plan. You know what you're doing. That's not being
no, I don't.
You know what
I
you're
have
doing
no
next
idea.
Week. And Thursday,
I'm going to go to Pat McAfee's party.
I mean, well, you can't go to Pat McAfee's party because he's doing his own draft watch along, and we're doing a draft watch along. We're doing the same thing. You can't be there.
Yeah, got it. Okay, but you're holding down the fort in Miami.
I'll be holding down the fort here. Yeah, in Miami, I'm going to have some people with me. Jess will be here. Tony will be here. Juju will be here. I think Chris Cody will be here. I'm not exactly sure. Mike Fuentes will be here. Jason will be here. I have an offensive line expert that I have on call who will be here helping us out with things. Not Mike Golic Jr., another offensive line expert. So I believe his name is Ian. So things are going well. Planning is going great. I'm trying to see if we can arrange. Should I say it? I'm trying to see if we can arrange that seance so we can remove the Dolphins curse during the draft watch along. But that hasn't been
really
yet. Yeah, lots
Wait,
of
you're trying
pieces.
To get Roslyn and Greg Cody to reach out. You're trying
I'm
to
efforting.
Connect Greg Cody and Don Shula through our friendly witch, Roslyn.
I'm efforting now.
Okay.
When we pitched this idea to Roslyn
what
the first time, she wasn't exactly 100% in on this idea. So if we can't do it with Roslyn, I may have to be going out to find other means to reach out to Don Shula. Because here's the thing, and I'm not saying this is reactionary, but as you mentioned, Pat McAfee, he's going to be doing it with who he said is the GOAT coach of all time in Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick was great. I heard him on his show. Now, Belichick has not caught up to Don Shula yet. So if we could get Don Shula on with us, I mean, I feel
I see. You know, I like it.
Not that that's so what we're doing, because we have other business to handle with Don Shula, which is remove the curse first, right? But if we can get him on to discuss the draft, then bonus. You know what I mean?
Once him and Cody rectify their situation, you're saying that Don Shula hopefully will be able to stay on with us from the dead. Will be able to stay on with us to provide draft
maybe
analysis.
A pick or two. Not a ton. Yeah. We'll see.
He did get Marino late in that first round. No one else took him.
It's a busy day, draft day. So who knows? Who knows? We'll see.
Anyway, would be great. If we don't get Don Shula, who can we have on? I mean, Steve Belichick.
You want Steve? I do like how every NFL person, like surrounding the NFL,
yeah,
whether they're like a head coach or not, are still doing all of their draft evaluations. Like they're still watching tape, breaking down film, ranking all of their players, even if they're not actually making picks, which is great.
All right. I will tell you, I reached out to Spags, our boy Spags.
Did you?
Yeah, just for, see if he wants to hang around on draft night. The Chiefs pick late in the first round every year.
he said no very quickly, I'm assuming. Hey, by the way, what happened? You assured us that Bill Belichick would be on this week doing an interview with us if he was at Northwestern at the lacrosse game that you were at.
Yeah.
And I saw footage of him at said lacrosse tournament, and I thought, wow, this is great. Bill Belichick, if he's going to do media this week, it'll be here. Stugatz promised me. And then I saw him on another show. I saw him on with Pat McAfee, not on with us. What happened to that?
They have more money.
Oh.
Bigger platform.
But did you talk to him?
I did not.
Well, that's...
Yeah, he was standing under a tree at the Northwestern lacrosse game, and he was on the phone the entire time.
Yeah.
On the opposite side of the field from where I sit.
Yeah, maybe.
He had sideline access that they don't grant me, Billy.
The sideline access. I was going to say, you make your way over to that tree, you pretend to be on the phone, he's pretending to be on the phone.
You lock eyes, Billy, and both say,
yeah, neither one of us want to be bothered. We're both the big stars here. And then you kind of
become friends
over that. Yeah.
No. You'll love this, because what I was processing, Billy, and like, man, I wanted to walk over there so badly. But if I walk over to the tree he was standing under, that means I have to walk across the field, opposite sideline, very close to the Northwestern bench. Mm-hmm. I cannot do that to Rachel.
Why?
It's so embarrassing.
Well,
because I've embarrassed her enough.
Isn't there a halftime or something in lacrosse? Can't you just do it then?
Yeah, but he went in with the team at halftime.
Mm.
He was like, he gave the pregame speech. He was talking to the kids as they came off the field during timeouts. It was great.
It sounds like this falls on Rachel. Like Rachel had access to Bill.
You're right. Should have maybe slipped
the number to him, but whatever. We're not here to blame Rachel. That's not what today is about.
No, it's not what today is about. I didn't tell Rachel. It did dawn on me. I should have, Rach. Line up an interview for your dad with Belichick. Anyway, let's get to Mike Fuentes' top five here, Billy. We have Todd McShay coming up, getting you ready for the NFL draft. I'll be in Detroit-ish, as Billy pointed out earlier, next week. I hate you. Let's get to Mike Fuentes. Mike, are you going to deliver this yourself? Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah, I'm going to do it. The disembodied voice of Mike Fuentes.
All right.
We'll do it.
What is your top five?
It's a top five QBs that need to show me something in 2024.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's a good top five.
Wow.
I need to be excited.
They need to show you something. Not anyone else, just you.
Not their boss, not their owner, not their coach, just me.
College, me NFL, just quarterbacks in general.
These are NFL guys.
Okay,
gotcha. All NFL guys.
You want to guess, Billy?
I have one for sure.
Bryce Young?
No, he wasn't my one. Let's let him get to it.
Okay, we're going to start with number five. I'm going to have Jason here doing the fanfare. Jason, one of our directors.
Yeah.
Number five is Caleb Williams.
Wow.
He's been hyped up for 2 years. He's a lock for the number one pick. You know, usually these guys come onto bad teams. They have no weapons, right? He's got all the weapons.
Yeah.
All right, he's got Keenan Allen. He's got DeAndre Swift. He has... DJ Moore's still there.
Everything we said Justin Fields needed to succeed is coming into the league with.
Justin Fields had it. Couldn't do anything. Mm. This guy, he has a chance. He's been hyped up for 2 years, too.
Yeah.
So he has a little bit of pressure. He has to show me something.
No. They built a team. They weren't certain he wanted to play in Chicago, in that city, for that organization, but they made it nearly impossible for him to say no.
Yeah, there's no excuse.
That is as ready a team with a number one overall pick as you'll ever see. Defense is good, as you pointed out. Wide receivers are good. They have a running game. They have a decent offensive line. And so I agree with that. I actually think he hasn't even been drafted yet, and Caleb Williams already needs to show me something.
The way this league is now, if you're a number one overall pick, you have to be ready to play.
Yeah.
You have to be in. We slaughtered Bryce Young last year, maybe unfairly. So that leads me into number four. Ooh. Stu, you nailed it. Bryce Young.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
It's year
two. Yeah, but Fuentes, here's the deal. Sorry to cut you off. That's fine. Bryce Young went to a team that was not ready.
Correct.
Right? I wouldn't, like, if it were me coming out of college, I wouldn't want to play for Carolina.
He should have held
Chicago?
Out.
Chicago? Hell yeah, man. That team's good.
Yeah, but it's year number two. He needs, you know, CJ Stroud blew up, which was the worst thing that could have happened to him.
Right.
Besides being drafted by Carolina.
And yeah, but so, CJ went to a good team.
Correct.
That's why, yeah.
So now
I like your take on Caleb.
Yeah, you have to progress a little bit more. I'm not saying that Bryce Young has to come out and be a world beater, but he has to show some kind of improvement so Carolina fans feel a little better about that pick. Because then you trade away the number one overall pick. I guess you didn't know it was going to be the number one overall pick at the time. And now you could have had Caleb Williams if you didn't trade that pick. So listen, Bryce Young needs to show us something. Number three, Jalen Hurts. You got to show me that Super Bowl year wasn't a fluke.
Oh, boy.
Last year, he wasn't that great.
Oh, boy.
So that's number three. Number two.
And you know who's standing behind them now, Fuentes?
Tom Brady.
He's sitting there. You know Philadelphia fans love him. Kenny Pickett.
I was going to say Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Well, Brady's always standing behind.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's standing around. He's standing behind 32 quarterbacks.
It's why the Patriots are going to trade the third pick of the draft. They know he's coming back. I mean.
Number two, Russell Wilson.
Wow.
Russ.
They told him he was washed. You can come back. Do something. And the thing is that this number two is actually a 2A and 2B, because if he gets hurt, it becomes Justin Fields.
Wow. Are you certain it won't be Justin Fields to begin with?
It might be. Well, we know that Russell's starting.
Yeah.
If Russell doesn't show me something, boom, it's Justin Fields now. Boom. He has to show me something.
Right, but that's Tomlin's decision, not yours.
Hey, well, you know what? I'm riding my boy Tom. Whoever he picks, show me something.
This number one can go a number of, I think, two ways, and I'm surprised that both people are not on this top five list.
What do you think it is, then? Tell me.
Well, I don't want to ruin it.
No, you won't. I don't think you know.
I feel like I know who number one is.
Unless you have laser vision over my shoulder in the other room right now, I can see my laptop.
I feel like I know who number one is.
I can't see it, but I feel like I know who you're going to say.
Give it a guess.
I think that you're going to say Trevor Lawrence.
Not Trevor Lawrence.
But the other one.
I think he's going to say Tua.
I was going to. Those were the two.
Or Aaron.
Nah, you're both wrong. Number one.
Really?
Kyler Murray.
Oh, what?
He came back late.
He shows me anything.
He came back late from an injury. Arizona is in a prime drafting position where they could make some moves and get his replacement. They're going to get him Marvin Harrison Jr. When they give him Marvin Harrison Jr., he has to show me something. Mm-hmm. Came back from an injury late. He showed some signs. There's literally nobody on that team besides him and a guy named McBride, who's the tight end. But they're going to get him a top-tier talent. Do something with that talent. Show me something.
You spent all of last season criticizing Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, but to me, he's already dead in the water. So.
Oh, so yeah. he can't
show me anything.
He can't show you anything.
He showed it all.
He's
like
no
it.
Longer available to show you something.
Okay. Yeah, he showed me everything. Didn't like it. It's over.
Should they draft a quarterback, the Jaguars? What pick are they?
Pretty late, right?
Yeah. It's a deep year.
You just killed Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, he's done. He's over.
And Tua showed
What if
you
he showed you something?
Dead man. Play. Can't show him anything. I've seen it all.
And Tua.
He had his chance.
Tua showed you enough?
Yeah, Tua showed me enough. He led the league in passing yards. I can't, like,
oh,
Tua show me
it.
Something. I know. Well, how about you show me that you can come back from, you know, being down and
you don't pay. It's going to be so interesting. The Dolphins cannot pay him $55 million a year. They can't. I'm sorry. They just can't. He's not a $55 million a year quarterback.
But if you don't give it to him, somebody else will. And that's the problem. It's just so hard to find good quarterback play.
Someone would give Tua $55 million if the Dolphins didn't.
I think there are teams dying to pay him $55 million if the Dolphins don't.
Really?
Yeah, because it's just so hard to find a good quarterback. You know how it is.
You know how it is.
You end up with Desmond Ridder. You know, it's terrible.
Jaguars are at 17.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof.
Who's that 17? I'm sorry.
The Jaguars. Yeah.
Oh, the you have him drafting a quarterback.
I'm excited to see how you and Mikey A from Detroit-ish are going to be celebrating.
We should go to Mikey A to get some, I mean, not Mikey A. We should go to Tom McShay to get some clarity on this.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what the Jets do. I can tell you that. And because I want Bowers, but they should probably take a tackle. We'll talk to Tom McShay about that. We'll do it next.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Draft guru Todd McShay is with us. We are less than a week away from the NFL draft. Todd, how you doing, man? We appreciate you doing this. I know it's a busy time for you, man. I'm like, you have to at some point get tired of evaluating players in the NFL draft.
I haven't gotten there yet, especially okay, this good. Year, kind of, you know, different circumstances. So I've
right.
had a lot of extra time on my hand. I get to actually do what I love, which is actually evaluating the players, and I don't have to deal with the constantly being tugged from one place to the next. And it also helps when I'm dealing with someone like you who's booking a show.
Oh,
and
boy.
It's an absolute disaster.
Have at it.
Just figure out like a half hour to sit down and talk. You ready? Yeah. Hey, Billy, you ready for this, bud?
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, God.
So, first of all, I know Meadowlark Media is doing pretty well. We got to have someone who can book, right?
Yeah.
Stugatz is texting back and forth. So yeah. We go back and forth for like a couple days.
Shit.
And I sent him a text. I'm like, here's the deal. I'm available tomorrow. This is 2 days ago. I said, I'm available tomorrow.
Yeah.
Before 10 a.m., mm-hmm. from 11 a.m. to noon, and then 3 p.m. for the rest of the day. And Stugatz writes, sorry, I was recording. Awesome. Think tomorrow at 11 to noon hour will work. We'll confirm shortly.
Mm-hmm.
But 3 hours later, I get a text back saying, how's 10:30 a.m.?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, remember, I'm available before 10 and then from 11 to noon. Make right. it very clear from 10 to 11, I'm tied up.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'm taping from 10 to 11. If done early, I can jump on, ba 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 ba. And then he writes back, Stugatz writes back, oh, okay, that was one of the times you gave earlier. Just text me when you're done, and we'll start tape, and we can tape, and then we should be good to go. Cool? Question mark? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Talk tomorrow. And then I wrote, by the way, you suck at reading.
Mm-hmm.
Just read my above text, please. I was like, this will be brought up tomorrow. And he does the crying emoji and says, it's even weirder because I meant 11:30.
Yeah.
I'm a bad reader and a bad writer. I mean, how about that?
And then we're getting ready to go on. I said, I'll be ready in 10 minutes. This is yesterday at 11:01. I said, I'll be ready in 10 minutes. I was just getting done with another show. He wrote, hey, apologies, having some tech issues. Would it be possible to do 3 o'clock today?
Oh, boy.
And then I call him and in the middle of the time that we were supposed to be on, and he's like, oh, yeah, can we do it later? I was like, yeah, we'll either do later today or tomorrow morning. He's like, okay. He's like, all right, I got to run back in. I'm still taping Levitar. Like, wait, I thought you were having tech issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that was the tech issue, Levitard.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Listen, whenever I send you tech issues, okay, just know that Levitard's like, hey, stay put. You can't leave, okay?
Levitard or golf, one of the two.
Todd, it wasn't golf, I promise you.
Todd, I have to tell you, that's not the worst time that he has used tech issues as an excuse to rearrange an interview. We had a time that somehow something happened where we double booked Mike Breen and Jake Paul at the same
time. You're going to love this. McShay, you're going to love this.
Yeah, yeah.
So Mike Breen, he told, oh, we're going to do like 40 minutes. And I think it was a similar thing where it's like, oh, you know, 5 more minutes, 10 minutes. And it somehow it just kept getting pushed back and pushed back to the point where it's like, we have 8 minutes until Jake Paul is supposed to talk to us about some boxing match against who knows who he's fighting, right? So then he's talking to Mike Breen. We're in the middle of the Mike Breen interview. The Jake Paul people keep calling, and they're trying to join, I think, like the exact same Zoom. So it's, I'm sitting back, and I'm like, how is he going to get out of this one? Like, what are we going to do here? So then on a working microphone, he tells Mike Breen, hey, Mike, I'm having some technical issues. I can't hear you. I don't think you can hear me. So he's pretending to hear Mike Breen, but he's answering everything Mike Breen says. And he says, right. just a moment. Wait, just let me sign out. Give me 5-10 minutes to figure this out. So he
How did Breen fall for that?
He leaves the Zoom, leaves poor Mikey in the Zoom with Mike Breen. We leave. We do an entire Jake Paul interview. Come back. Mike Breen is still sitting there for like 10, 15 minutes. He's been sitting there just with Mikey making small talk, whatever.
Right.
Rejoins and then like crystal clear, perfect sound. And he's like, can you hear me? He's like, I don't know if I can hear you. And he's like answering every question Mike Breen says, but is still pretending that there was a tech issue. Exactly right. And then does the Mike Breen interview. But he kept Mike Breen waiting for 15, 20 minutes to talk to Jake Paul. Ridiculous.
You're enjoying that, huh?
So this is just a minor follow.
Well, here's
a
Incidentally, Billy had an emergency yesterday, and I didn't want to put his business out there, and so that's why I went with tech issues, because Billy had an emergency yesterday, and I was trying to cater to Billy.
I mean,
so now you're going to put his issues out there.
No, so it's fine. My daughter fell at school. I had to take her to get stitches. It's not a big deal. It's okay. Like, everything's fine. But I was perfectly happy with, like, yeah, you could talk to Todd, and then I'll miss this one. It's not a big deal. It's fine. Yeah, don't worry about it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Never let us down, Stugatz.
Well, here's the best thing, Todd, is that like half the time there are tech issues, but it's like before we're just getting started at like his home setup. So it's like we'll be here while he's trying to figure out the camera, the microphone. It's like, just don't unplug things. Leave everything fine and we'll be good to go at the designated time. Anyways, the draft is here, huh?
I'm sitting right here, guys. Hey, buddy. Hello, friends. the draft is here. McShay, where would you stack up this draft class as opposed to, you know, past draft classes, all the classes you've covered here in your career? Where does this one stack up?
I think it has a chance to be a special one when we look back, because the positions that are most important are pretty loaded. You know, every year we talk about the quarterbacks, obviously. I think we're going to see five quarterbacks in the first round. I think four belong there. I think Caleb Williams, obviously, has a chance to be a special, special talent. Jaden Daniels, if you just study the tape from last year and compare the two, I mean, I've walked away saying, like, if I didn't have 2022 and I didn't, you know, see the whole picture – there would be a real argument between Caleb and Jaden. That's how great Jaden was this past year. Then Drake May has all the upside in the world, but I think he needs to sit for a year. I don't think he's where he needs to be yet. And J.J. McCarthy's a proven winner. He has the tools, doesn't have the volume that you look for in some of the other quarterbacks, and so there's a little bit of risk there. But I think he's got a chance to be a good starter, and we'll see how that goes. But anytime you come into a year where – there's always going to be need for quarterback, where you have four guys that belong somewhere in the top 15 and probably will wind up getting pushed up to the top five picks. You know, you're happy if in terms of what the, you know, what's being offered. But then, like, offensive tackle, this might be the strongest group in a decade.
Wow.
And I know, like, it's not great for television and people are like, yeah, great, but let's talk about the receivers and the quarterback. Like, NFL teams are frothing at the mouth. You know, they are dying to get, especially we've kind of had a drought for several years with great offensive linemen coming in from college. This group is stacked. Wide receiver used to be kind of a second tier position need. Now, because of the league and spreading things out and the new rules and the way the offenses are, wide receiver is one of the top three, four positional needs. It's another loaded class. And then you look on the defensive side, cornerback, you're not going to see someone in the top 7-8 picks, but there's going to probably be four or five corners going the first round. So, and there's good edge rushers, not elite. It's not like it has been in years past, but those five positions are the most important five positions on the field. And they're going to take up, I would guess, you know, I don't know, maybe like 18, 20 picks in the first round at those positions.
Wow. Who's the best tackle in the draft?
Joe Alt from Notre Dame.
People are saying like he's the best tackle. He's the best tackle to come out of college like the last decade. Is that fair?
I don't know the last decade, but I would say in the last few years. And if you watch him, it's interesting because he's not this like dominant, overpowering guy where you get these great like highlight reels, you know, on draft night of him pancaking, you know, linebackers on the second level and all that stuff. But damn, he's efficient. Like you know, you can just plug him in. He's going to start from day one. He's going to be a really good pass protector, really solid run blocker. There's not a lot of holes in his game. But behind, like, Oli Fashanu from Penn State was supposed to be that guy. He was supposed to be him this year. Didn't have a great past season. You know, never took it to another level. And so there's concerns about why. But I think if he gets with the right offensive line coach, he's going to be a star in the league. And the list goes on. I mean, legitimately, I think 6-7 offensive linemen go in the first round.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of teams are trying to get that quarterback on a rookie contract, and you brought up wide receiver, and you're seeing more wide receivers become good right away in the NFL. That never used to be the case. It used to take them a couple of years. Now they're good, and they're good right away. And the new trend, or one of the new trends with drafting, GMs are trying to get wide receivers on those rookie contracts as well. Yes. Less money they have to spend on a big-time position. Well,
look at the free agent money that's going to these wide receivers.
Crazy.
I mean, like slot receivers are getting stupid money, you know, number threes. So, and that's why when you talk about like Brock Bowers and how special of a player he is, he's still a tight end, you know? And so, if I'm drafting in the top 10 and I can get that player at a premium position, quarterback, tackle, wide receiver, I'm getting it for so cheap and a lot, it frees up other money in other places. But what's interesting to me though, you got a lot of teams in the top 10 that have both tackle and receiver needs this year. And to me, I always look at it like the combo picks, if you will, you know, looking at the situation. So if I'm a GM, I'm looking at this and saying, all right, this class is loaded at offensive tackle and it's loaded at wide receiver. But in the second round, where's the value? You can, in the second round, like Xavier Leggett from South Carolina is going to run the four, you know, ran in the 4.4s, big physical receiver, can get down the field. You got Ladd McConkey from Georgia, who's a special route runner and great after the catch. Ricky Pearsall, everyone said coming out of Florida, well, you know, is he like truly a dynamic guy? Can he be a vertical threat? Can he create? Well, he ran like a 4.41, had a 42-inch vertical. And he's the best route runner in this class. So my point in all of this, when you look at teams like the Cardinals sitting at 4 and then pick 35 in the second round, the Chargers at 5 and then pick 37 early in the second round, the Giants pick 6 and then 47th in the second round, the Titans at 7 and 38 in the second round, and then the Jets are interesting because they pick at 10. They need a tackle and a pass catcher, but they don't have that second round pick. We'll get to the Jets later, I'm sure. Yeah. But all those teams – while it's so enticing when you've got Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers and Romo Odunze, like three guys that I think can be absolute stars and can be that pretty early in their career, do you look at it and say, oh, shit, I want that guy so bad, but if I take a receiver now, I'm not getting a starting tackle in the second round.
Wow.
So do I just take the tackle now and get my receiver in the second round? So that to me is going to be fascinating to see. I don't think Arizona is not going to steer away from wide receiver. I don't think they're going to move. I thought they might a few weeks ago, but talking to a lot of people in the league, I think Arizona is going to stay put at 4. I think they're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. You know what you're getting. He's the most NFL-ready receiver we've seen come in the league, I believe, in a decade. I don't know that he has elite twitch. I think Malik Nabers could be more explosive and dynamic. I think he's the closest thing to Tyreek Hill we've seen in a long time coming out of the draft in terms of that explosiveness. But in terms of, like, I'm not going to miss on this pick. Marvin Harrison Jr. is that guy. So Arizona will go receiver. But those other teams that everyone's kind of mocking wide receivers, like I mentioned before, the Chargers, the Giants, the Titans, don't be shocked if it's offensive tackle there.
Todd, man, when you say –
that's amazing what you said about Harrison. I'm sorry, Billy. Think about that, Billy, because he's saying last decade – Justin Jefferson's been drafted. Jamar Chase has been drafted. Yeah. And he's saying this guy's the best in a decade. That's nuts, man.
When you say this is a deep draft class and you say that the positions are stacked, does that mean you could get a year one starter in the third round, or all these positions are just top heavy?
That's a good question. Offensive tackle is absolutely top heavy. Wide receiver is great in the first three rounds, like 2.5 rounds, and then it's going to really drop off. It's not nearly as good. And I think part of it, honestly, and I think you'll see this for a lot of the groups, part of it is so many guys now with NIL and the transfer portal, if you're not a first or second round pick, people are like, shit, I'm going to get paid more money to stay in college.
Right.
And maybe if I stay in college another year, I'm going to get better to the point where I will be a first or second round pick. So a lot of these guys, the information is flowing a lot better than it used to. It's not just through agents. It's through people that you trust and they're actually around scouts in the league and know what's going on. So if I'm a guy, if I'm a player for Florida State, Alabama, doesn't matter. And I've got one more year of eligibility. I know I'm ready for the NFL, but I get like legitimate information from my head coach, who's getting it from a general manager, that, hey, I can't tell you for certain he's going to be a second round pick. I know he's not going to be a first, probably going to be like third, fourth round range. So what, like, look at the contracts for a third round pick. You're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars versus millions of dollars. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I'll just go sign a couple more NIL deals, make just as much, if not more money in college, depending on the position I play, and then try my luck for next year. Right. And you're seeing, like, this draft class is a prime example of what is going on in college, because it is great for the first two and a half rounds. Then there's a real drop off because so many guys went back to school.
Well, I've been meaning to ask someone about this, and I'm glad you're here, because I've wondered how NIL has kind of skewed the draft in that way, because you have guys that seemingly are like, wow, this person is dominating college. They're a fifth-year senior. And it's like, yeah, but that's because they couldn't really make it in the draft, and they're just kind of sticking around to get money. So if you have guys that have been more experienced playing against lesser experienced guys because the guaranteed draft guys are going into the draft, how hard is it to kind of analyze what's going on in college right now? Because there is a disparity, I guess, in experience, because NIL is keeping people around that maybe shouldn't be there anymore.
I think teams love it. That's kind of the hidden secret in all this. It's worked out so well in the favor of NFL teams, because if they're not a first or second round guy, teams would rather them go back, because you don't have like a 53-man rosters, you know, and the practice times and preparing each week. Forget the development in the NFL is not where it really should be, because you just don't have the time to do it. You don't have the roster size to do it. Okay, so what would you rather, a player in the best developmental league that is offered for football, being college football, spending another year and continuing to develop? And oh, by the way, maybe they get the opportunity to transfer from one program to the next because there's a better opportunity for them to get experience, or the better scheme fit, whatever it is. So as an evaluator in the NFL, I'm like, you know what, go play another year. Like, what's the difference between 21 and 22 years old? Like, I'm worried about my job. My job is only going to – I'm probably going to be here for 3-4 years with this NFL organization. So come to us when you're ready and gain more experience. And so, and especially with quarterbacks. I mean, the fact that, like, for so many years we were talking about guys with 13 starts, 17 starts, 21 starts. You know, now quarterbacks are moving around to get that experience before they come in the league. And, you know, now we talk about Drake May. I think it's 26 starts. Well, in previous years, we'd be like, well, that's a lot better than, you know, than what we have with Mitch Trubisky and 13 starts and right. Cam Newton, all that stuff. So, like, I think the NFL is benefiting from it. And they just kind of – when it comes to college, they just always kind of sit back and are quiet and let the developmental league do what they can do, because it's free. They're not paying for a developmental league. So it's interesting to see.
But when you talk about, like, guys that get that extra year, like quarterbacks in particular, right? So they get 26 starts versus 13 starts. Is there a fear that, okay, well, they're just kind of – the bad habits are now setting in because there's another year of doing things, and now they're not – it's going to be harder for them to get up to NFL speed.
Really, teams don't care about the person. They care about the product, period. Eventually, they might – you know, the coaching staff in the league, when they get there, like, they'll care about the person to a certain degree. But they care about the product. And the product is better 9 times out of 10 if you, as an evaluator, get more tape to study, get to see more experience, and allow that player to mature. It's like, I don't know, like having a banana, right? Like, you'd rather eat the banana. It's a weird analogy. I don't know how the hell I got on that.
I like it.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I want to hear you tie it together. Store. Go ahead. Yeah.
You go to the grocery store and you pick out a, you know, stack of bananas, and uh-huh. The green ones, you're like, yeah, in 4 or 5 days I can eat that, right? Like, that's right. Going to be a good banana.
Right.
But, like, I'd rather, if I know I want a banana when I get home, like, give me the friggin' banana. Let me rip it open. And so, like, they'd rather it not come in green, right?
Yeah.
I'll never use that. I'll never use that.
No, use that.
Listen, you tied it together well. I got to be honest. Better than I expected. I mean,
I don't even know. What are the clusters?
You want your potassium right now, is mm-hmm. what you're saying.
I mean, I
want someone. I want something that's ready to go right now. Yeah.
Who is the highest graded quarterback in all the years you've been evaluating the draft?
Andrew Luck, 99 grade out of 100.
Wow. And where does Caleb stack up against him?
You got a 98 grade on him, so, like, right there.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't just hand out 98s, McShay. I mean,
highest grade since Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck was the highest grade I've given in 23 years of doing this.
Wow.
Who was your biggest miss?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I missed on the quarterbacks that everyone missed on, right? If he was a Jets quarterback, I missed on him.
Who's Zach?
I like Zach. Yeah. I mean, I didn't love him. I didn't have the highest grade on him.
It could be either way. Yeah, it could be someone that you thought wasn't going to pan out that ended up being a star, too.
Yeah, we don't mean to be too hard.
Yeah, no. Jamarcus Russell was a huge miss. We've talked about that before. I was a young pup in the industry. I didn't know who to trust. I got bad information.
Yeah.
It was framed to me that, oh, no, he's not lazy and standoffish. He's just so poised and calm. And I never trusted that source again. I don't think I've seen that source 100 times, and I think I've just walked by and turned my head every single time. So
he was a yellow banana that you thought is going to last another week, and then immediately bruised.
The yellow banana?
Yeah. In terms of bananas, the green banana, the yellow banana. You got the banana.
I think Zach was that guy.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he's bringing back your analogy, Zach, right?
Yeah.
I thought Zach was going to be that guy. I really did.
Right.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say – I'm interested to see what happens with Trevor Lawrence because he was one of the highest-graded quarterbacks I've had.
What grade did you give him?
What's that?
What grade did you give him?
97, I think.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. And first year, I was like, oh, boy. You know, and then Doug Peterson comes in. I'm like, there's the guy. There's the guy I evaluated. And then you know, since then, he's kind of leveled off. And I know it was injuries last year, but, like, he's got to take that next step if Jacksonville is going to. You know, and I always go back to this, and I'm not picking on Trevor. I just always – it's always interesting the information you get before the draft and stuff you can't really share because you're talking about a 20-year-old guy and it's only one team and one person's opinion. But I'll never forget an evaluator who's been doing it a long time. And everyone from the NFL to me to Mel to, you know, everyone would, like, it's impossible not to love Trevor Lawrence and what he brings. But one evaluator, because you always look for those guys. You're looking for, okay, if he doesn't succeed, why? And one evaluator said, you know what, like, the only thing that concerns me, and this is, I'll never forget this, the only thing that concerns me is when I sat down with Peyton, when I sat down, you know, with some, he just listed like four or five other guys. When I sat down with Andrew, the recall was like mind blowing. Like I could pull up a third down play from like a Central Michigan game, you know, second game of the season, they won by 40 points. And he would tell me like, oh, I busted that. They busted coverage or I misread where the pressure was coming from. Like, and they would know. And they could recall that like it happened 3 hours ago. He goes, well, Trevor wasn't there. He goes, the recall wasn't there. And I wonder, you know, as I've kind of sat back and just watched his career progress, is there something there that maybe he just doesn't quite pick things up like you would expect? And so that's the only thing I can kind of try to put my finger on. Because with Doug Peterson, he made things easier for him. He made the picture clearer. But I wonder if that's what's the kind of that one missing element where Trevor's gone from, like, terrible as a rookie to really good, but struggling to get to that next level.
After last season, like right after the draft, was Jaden Daniels projected as a first round pick, or did that happen as the season went on?
No, he was like a second rounder. Some scouts I talked to thought third.
Okay, wow.
The transformation, though, if you go back, like his Arizona State compared to his first year.
Right.
At LSU was big, but it happened, if you remember, in the second half of that 2022 season. Right. I'll never forget. I was on the sideline with Brian Kelly before the Tennessee game. This year, the Tennessee was great. They were rolling, right?
Right.
It was, I want to say it was the fifth game, maybe the sixth game of the season.
You're talking about the Hendon Hooker year, right?
Yes, Hendon Hooker here. Exactly. Okay. So I'm on the sideline. I had my meetings the day before with Brian, but we've got producers and directors in there. Brian and I have been good for a long time. He's a mass hole like me and all that. So although the family didn't really show it, he grew up in Somerville.
Yeah, where's your accent from the South?
Right.
My accent from the – I don't have an accent. My mom was from Ohio, and I grew up in Massachusetts, and she used to smack it out of me every time I would come home and say, Ma! Ma!
Anyway, I made fun of Kelly, though. I made fun of Kelly. He suddenly turned into Boudreaux Kelly with an X.
No, I know. Right. But anyway, I'm talking to him before, and he said, here's the thing with Jaden. He's going to be special. And I hadn't quite seen it yet. He said, he's going to be special. He goes, I promise you. He goes, he can throw accurately. He can see it. He can read it. He goes, I promise you, he can. It doesn't always look like he can. I promise you, he can see the field. He goes through progressions quickly. And he can throw with anticipation. Because those are the three things you really want to know. Accurate, can he see it, and anticipation. He goes, here's the problem. He doesn't trust it yet. I said, all right, well, what do you mean? He's like, if the receiver's going to break, instead of throwing it like that split second before he breaks, or just trusting that where the receiver's going to be where he needs to be and putting it in a spot to lead him, he has to see it come open. And he goes, we've been working all week. And he said, you guys are fucking killing me. You're killing me because everyone wants to talk in the media. Jaden's gone 5 games, no interceptions. He's protecting the ball. You know, he really is. He's picked up what they're trying to do. He's giving him a chance to win. He goes, I don't want him to give us a chance to win. I want him to go out and win games for us because he's that kind of player. He's like, I need him to pull the trigger. And the first play of the game, I'll never forget, they designed the throws. It was a comeback route, and the ball came out. I could hear Brian now saying, hey, I don't give a shit if it's picked off. I don't care what happens on this play. You're going to throw it to this receiver on a comeback route. Trust it and throw it. And he did. And it was a completion right on the sideline. And that from like that moment on, they lost that game. But from that moment on, you saw the confidence build. And he became a guy who was a great athlete with a good arm and could make special plays, to a guy who could actually trust his reads and get into a progression and go through the system the way he needs to. And literally from that week on, he got better and better and better, to the point where I would argue the Heisman Trophy, I would argue he was the best quarterback on tape out of all of these guys this past year.
Wow. What grade did you give him?
He's a 96.
Man, interesting. Yeah. All right, two more quick ones. We'll get you out of here. Jets, you mentioned earlier. Jets at number 10. They don't have a second-round pick. They need offensive linemen. They need a tight end. Me and Mike EA, we want Bowers. I have a feeling the Jets are going to go with a tackle. What says you?
Well, here's the deal. I mean, you guys know Joe Douglas.
Yep.
If you work for Ozzie Newsome for a long time, you have no choice but to understand and appreciate what made the Ravens so successful for so long. Super Bowls, consistently a playoff team. Eric DaCosta becomes the new GM. He's implemented the same system. And part of that is, and I know it's a cliche, but trusting your board. Like when we said it, these are the best players. We're not going to steer away. We're not going to go reaching for positional value, maybe for a positional need. But more importantly, if you go back and study Ozzie's history, where they were most successful is sitting back and being patient and waiting for that team behind them to panic and to call them on the clock and to take advantage and basically exploit that team that needed something, right? And he did it over and over and over and over again. The Ravens continue to do it with Eric DaCosta. Joe Douglas has learned that and moved on. You're going to see the same thing from Joe Ortiz now, who's an Aussie descendant, who's going to with the Chargers, with Jim Harbaugh. Watch the Jets this year. It's fascinating to me because now Joe is kind of pulled in three different directions. Okay.
Right.
You got Aaron Rodgers, and you know you got to protect him at his age, coming off of that injury. And yes, we got a couple band-aids in their early mid-30s at offensive tackle. But what happens in week 14 when one or both of those guys are out? And if we don't have a plan for that, our season's to shit, right? Okay. So now that's – if I'm Joe, that's tugging at me. I can bring in a tackle, and he's going to have a little bit of time. I can insert him a guard. I can give him a little time, whether it's 10 weeks, 13 weeks. But at some point, I'm going to need that offensive tackle. You know that, right?
Yes.
Then you also got Aaron Rodgers, and it's like, I'd love to get him one more weapon. I'd love to get him one more weapon. But then you've got Joe's like background, like foundation, what he was built on. You know, it's like when you leave your house and all like the morals and things that have been instilled in you, and your parents tell you like these are the things that you're like that make you our son, and that's going to be tugging because they don't have a second round pick.
Right.
And Joe, like, it's all about acquiring extra picks, trusting that we evaluate players better than everyone else evaluates players, that if we can get more picks, we're going to hit on guys. And so they're sitting there, they pick in the first round, and they don't pick again until they trade that 41st pick. They don't pick again until the third round as part of the Aaron Rodgers deal. So now it's like, I got to protect Aaron on one hand. The other hand saying, I got to get Aaron another weapon. But his like core is telling him that if I move back, I can still get a really good receiver in the first round or an offensive tackle. Maybe I can get back that second round pick and get a receiver. Like we talked about before, let's get our tackle in the first round, maybe pick 14, 15, 16, so to a team that's panicking to come up for one of these receivers. Let's get our tackle back there, Talese Fuaga from Oregon State, or Oli Fashanu from Penn State. Then I can get a receiver like a Ricky Pearsall in the second round because I recovered that second round pick. And now I've handled both issues. And I've gone with what Ozzie always told me my whole life. So it's going to be fascinating to see what he does. And obviously it will matter what team is trying to move up for which player at that point. But it won't shock me if Joe moves back a little bit to try to get a tackle and a pass catcher in the first two rounds rather than just addressing one of those needs. But also ownership is undefeated, man. Just keep that in mind. Ownership is undefeated.
Mm-hmm. We're winless in our case.
But still undefeated.
But how good is Bowers, though? Because that's the guy I want. Like, I think in terms of tight ends, how high is that grade?
I think he's special. Really, really high. Like, you know, probably top five tight ends that I've evaluated. Oh. And he didn't run a 40. He looks like a banker who played like club basketball for like his fraternity in college, right? Like that picture of him and Gronk was like the worst thing that happened to him. It's like, wait, that's a proven NFL commodity, right? That's what it's supposed to look like. And then that's his younger brother or what, right. That's his cousin who like
unproven. Yes.
He's really smart, but he's not the athlete of the family. You know, that's what it looked like, right?
Yeah.
But you put on the tape and like after the catch, separating ball skills. He's a special player. He would be a great weapon. And I know like Aaron hasn't always had like that elite tight end and all that, but you put what they have on the outside now, and then you get a guy in the middle of the field. I would love to see that. But again, I think you can move back a few spots and maybe still get
it off
if it works.
I know. Yeah. He'll probably do that too. Mm-hmm. All right, man. We appreciate it. Draft guru, Todd McShay. My apologies about yesterday. My apologies. Just in general. My apologies.
If it was any other year, I might have been a little bit annoyed, but I wasn't even a little bit.
Good. Well, thank you. It's a busy time of year for you. We always appreciate your time. Never go with that banana analogy again.
No, stick with it. No, stick with it.
Why did that really liked it?
I loved it.
Consider my company, right?
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right, fellas. Have a good one.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And we're back.
Yep.
You know what's crazy, Stugatz? And maybe I shouldn't like still be surprised by stuff like this, but we just talked to Todd McShay for, you know, 30 minutes almost. We spent a long time talking to Todd McShay, but before
the draft is coming up.
The draft is coming up. But before we talked to Todd McShay, we kind of sat down and we were talking to Todd McShay. And he's the most professional of all of us, obviously. And he was trying to make sure that all of our equipment works. But when we were talking to Todd McShay, he's like, Billy. And I'm like, yes, Mr. McShay. And I was shocked that Todd McShay knew who I was. And I don't know why, but it's still one of those things that I'm very excited when the guest knows who I am.
Billy, why though?
I don't know.
We've been doing God Bless Football for 3 or 4 years now. You're the co-host of the show. You do the show with me.
I know.
You've spoken to Todd McShay before. You think he forgets your name?
Like, yes, is the answer. You know, these people, these experts, all these people that do all these interviews, talk to a million people a day, right? And I don't think Todd McShay would know who I was from listening to God Bless Football, if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, I feel like maybe it has to do with the fact that, you know, we're on the Lebatard show and maybe he saw me from time to time when I was on the screens all across ESPN. But it's still exciting. You know, I grew up watching Todd McShay, not to, you know, make him feel old by saying anything like that. But, you know, right. Todd McShay. When Peter King, when we do dishes, not that Peter King knows who I am, but I still get excited. I don't know why I still get excited about
why
sports sometimes.
Why do you think these people don't know who you are? The combination of the Levitard show, yes, which gave us all a massive platform and people know who we are.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be, and the combination of that plus God Bless Football being out at the Super Bowl for a couple of years like we've done.
Yeah.
Like, why are you surprised by this, man? You're a big star, Billy.
I don't know about that.
You're uncomfortable with it, aren't you?
I am. I am a little bit. You think Josh Allen remembers us?
Remembers you.
We got to get Josh Allen back on.
And
I'm going to get so much crap about that. I already know. Dolphin fans would hate if we became friends with Josh Allen. But
you are friends with Josh Allen. What are you talking about?
I mean, I'm not. You know what I was thinking? Did I tell you this? So like when we went to Super Bowl, we didn't meet up with Gordy, which I really wanted to meet up with Gordy and kind of go out and hang out with him and Mojo and Chris and all of them out there in Las Vegas. But like our schedule was crazy and they got there late and we left early. And it was anyways. But I did see the night after, I think, did we talk? We might have talked about this on air already. The night that we like went and we talked to Josh and it went like, well, he was hanging out with Gordy that night. I'm like, man, could you imagine if we would have just been like, hey, Gordy, let's go out. And then Josh would have been there.
I know.
Is it normal to start hanging out over with Gordy? Well, probably not, right?
Yeah, right. I've learned over 3 years of doing this is we need to hang out with Gordy more.
At all. We need to hang out with these people at all. Yeah, yeah, we talk to them every
Gordy
week.
Specifically. Yes, Gordy's always hanging around with the guys we want on the show.
I've botched it so much. No, I just want to hang out with them, to be honest with you. Like, I've botched so many of these interactions. The big one was the Super Bowl at Gronk's house. Like,
right.
That was one that we really should have done and then didn't do, but really should have done. Like, the Super Bowl at Gronk's house was, like, our big missed opportunity. Then was Mojo's bachelor party. That was another big missed opportunity. Then was Mojo's wedding in Italy at a castle. That was another missed opportunity. We've gotten to the point that they're not going to hang out with us. Like, Sharebear's called me sometimes when he's been in Miami. He's like, I'm at the Mondrian. And I'm like, I'm with my children. It's Sunday. I'm giving them a bath. They have school tomorrow morning. I can't go hang out with you and Brandon Seiler right now. Sorry, Sharebear.
Seiler, I forgot about that.
Lots of missed opportunities. Anyway.
How's his book doing? Did he come on promoting a book?
No, I don't think so. I think he just came on because... Did he? I don't remember.
I don't know.
I think he just came on because he's friends with Sharebear.
I got to tell you, the most shocking thing in this entire episode is that Mike Fuentes has closed the door on Trevor Lawrence being able to show him something.
And really can't show him anything. You're done.
And you really need Kyler Murray to prove something
that's
to
right.
you.
Yeah, that's right.
It's insane.
To you.
K1.
I could care less if Kyler Murray ever proves anything to me.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, that's why it's not to you. It's to me.
That's, I suppose that's true. He's right about that.
It's your list?
It is his list.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's Kyler Murray.
So have you started packing it? You ready for Detroit-ish?
Go to hell.
What?
I'm not going. Listen to me. There are no planes, all right? No directees that take you to Detroit-ish, okay?
Ooh.
It's not a place. It doesn't exist. So, no.
You said go to hell. I'm looking it up. There is a hell, Michigan. Man, maybe that's where the draft should have been. God bless football.
God bless football.